Now, the problem with love is that it's easy to tell somebody that you love them. The problem is there is no standardized test that you can apply to see if somebody really do love you. Every time somebody say they love you, you have to determine whether or not you all have the same definition. And they're going to look at you funny when you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know what I mean. No, I don't. Some people say, I love my dog. I love pizza. And I love you.
Today we're looking at an Old Testament story that's very powerful, Amnon and Tamar. Amnon said he loved her, but we're going to talk about a love going wrong. This is a message for those who have found themselves in a sexual abuse situation. I want you to know that God is concerned and God cares about what happened to you. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
You see a man come to church two or three times, well, I know he must be saved. But some go to church to search, and they ain't saved. I can't tell you how many women say, well, but when we was dating, he would go to church. And so I thought he was saved. Well, the devil go to church. You should have been watching him when he's at church. The pastor say, turn to Genesis. He looking in the table of contents. Genesis. He ain't saved. He's just in church. He'll go to church to get you. We sing an Amazing Grace. You're talking about, that sound familiar. Then there was Amnon's friend, Jonadab, who was street smart. And he asked, now, what's wrong, man? Man, what's wrong? Man, I'm in love with Tamar, my brother's, Absalom's sister. Now, he didn't say, now, listen, man, give it up. Don't go down that path. But know what he said in verse 5? This is what you do, bro. Go to bed, pretend to be sick. And then when your father comes to see you, tell him I would like my sister Tamar to come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so I may watch her and then eat from my hand. After the announcement that he loved Tamar and then the attraction that led to his anxiety, there became an arrangement. His lust and temptation is now driving him to scheme on how to take advantage of this innocent lady. And scheming is one of the things that we do when it comes to the ladies. In fact, that's what we used to call it when I was single and unsaved. We said we go on scheming. A scheme is to get you to the place where we want to get you. And we know that you already know what we want, so we got to scheme to get it. So we got to lie to you. We got to show you a picture that's not quite right. I'm talking to the single women and to the one who wished they were single. That's what we do when we're unsaved. And then when we get saved, some still do. So just because he's saved don't mean he's sanctified. But he's saved, okay. Still running through the paces. Let me get through with this story because we got a ways to go. Verse 6, so Amnon laid down. Now here's a plan. You go act like you're sick. Your daddy going to come see you, the king. Then tell him you want your sister to come wait on you. So Amnon laid down, pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said, I'd like my sister to come and make some special bread in my sight so I can eat from my hand. David sent word to Tamar at the palace, go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him. So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, made the bread in his sight and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him the bread, but he refused to eat. Now Tamar is following her father's instructions. Here's David. Now, I just thought about this. I wondered, okay, David, you didn't pick up on what's going on. Now, he didn't pick up on what's going on. If you start at the beginning of this book in 2 Samuel, David is looking at Bathsheba. But it looked like he ought to have said, no, you got all these servants. You got cooks. You got housekeepers. You got all these people. Now, why you want your sister to come over there and cook for you? Somebody watch them. She's going to get abused. We're going to get to that. But I want to make this point now. Parents, somebody need to be watching out over your kid. They can't go stay over everybody's house just because they want them to come. We're going to do a sleepover. Well, if you ain't sleeping over here where I'm watching you, there ain't no sleepover. You don't do no sleepover. Too much stuff going on. Somebody got to watch. Somebody got to say, no, we ain't doing that. That don't make no sense. We still need some chaperones. Well, I don't want to tell them, like, I don't trust them. Well, tell them, I don't trust you. It's not you, it's the other folk. Here we have someone who should be protecting that's not getting a clue as to what might be going on. Stuff happens. There are many cases of abuse, and somebody that's listening to me have been abused sexually by even people in the same family. Somebody was asleep at the wheel. And here she is, a virgin. She's not street smart. She's being obedient to her father, and she goes in and does what is good and what is right to try to attend to her brother. And while she's cooking and cleaning, he's laying low and scheming. How many young boys and girls are sexually abused because the parents did not take action to prevent it? And then when told about it, protected the abuser instead of the victim. We looked at the announcement that he loved her. Then he had an attraction to her. Then he had anxiety because he couldn't get her. And then he made an arrangement. Now let's look at the attack. He bring her food and she said, I ain't going to eat this. Why are you not going to eat? Well, he tells us here. Send everybody out of here. There were too many people in here for me to eat right now. Send everybody out, he said. So everybody left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, now bring the food in here to my bedroom so I can eat from your hand. He didn't say bring it in here and leave it. And Tamar took the bread she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me, sister. He was Marvin Gaye before his time. Let's get it on. He said, come to bed with me now. Look at what she said in verse 12. No, brother, no, no, no. Don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. We don't do that. It's a wicked thing. Don't do this wicked thing. No, no, no. She caught on quick. No, no, no. That ain't why you got me in here, I know. What about me? Where can I get rid of my disgrace? What about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king and he will not keep me from being married to you. But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her. Look at what Tamar said. There was six things she said here. She said, don't do this to me. And then secondly, she said, we don't do this in our country. In other words, we're people of God. We don't do this. And then she said, what about me? What you even think about me? You know what this is going to do to me? What about me? You're trying to satisfy your own self, but what about me? Then she said, where could I get rid of my disgrace? I'm going to be disgraced and then I can't get rid of it. What about me? And then what about you? You'd be a fool in Israel. You're not thinking about all that. What about you? He's saying when you get bound up with lust and temptation and all of that, it will make you irrational. And then she said, come on, talk to the king. Talk to dad. He'll let me marry you. She's trying to figure a way anything besides this. And if I have to marry you, I'll marry you so that you can have sex with me. But don't do this. Here's somebody say, I love her. I want her. I got to have her. And she said, okay, let's get married. He said, Marry. Let's check first and see if that'll work. Let me try it out. Mary, look at what happened. He said, he refused to listen. He had a love on his mind, he said, but marriage was not on his mind. Ladies, if you're asking and suggesting and wondering and waiting and hoping that he's going to marry you, and you've been dating for years, going out of town together, saints, Let's go down to New Orleans for the weekend, brother, sister. Don't worry, Pastor. We got separate rooms. When people tell me that, I almost want to say, what kind of pastor you think I am? Don't even tell me you're going to get separate rooms. Don't offend me like that, thinking I'm crazy. Ain't nothing happening, Pastor. No, ain't nothing happening when you don't go. Ladies, if you still hoping and thinking and wondering and waiting, and you living together, you ought to take note of what's getting ready to happen right here. He refused to listen. So, ladies, if you want to find out whether he want to marry you, cut the sex out. Say, you can't have none, no more. And then see what he'll do. Most of the time, he's going to do just like Amnon. After he overpowered and raped her, that was the attack. And now here's the aftermath, verse 15. After he got through, Amnon hated her. Verse 15, with an intense hatred. In fact, it says he hated her more than he loved her and said to her, get up and get out. Get out of here. I'm through with you. The one that he loved because she was so beautiful and she was a virgin. And I can't sleep now. I got anxiety. My friends say, what's wrong with you? Man, I love that woman. I love that woman. And now since he got him some, he said, get on up and get out. The woman want to know now, what do we got now since we done did this now? What's the relationship going to be like? Well, what you talking about? Well, you know what happened to the love that made him sick for her. It was not love. It was counterfeit. It was lust. It was a desire gone wild. It was TLC, all right. Not tender love and care, but temptation, lust, and conquest. She said, no, verse 16. No, don't send me away. Sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you've already done. Now you raped me. Now you're going to send me away. You're going to kick me out. But he refused to listen to her. Look at verse 17. He called his personal servants, the one he told to leave out the room, get this woman out of here. And then bolt the door behind her. Shut the door. Get out of here. I underline that, get this woman. She was Tamar. The first part of the message, I love Tamar. Tamar is on my mind. Oh, I just want to see Tamar. Now she's this woman. She's nondescript. She's of no value. She's of no use. Get this woman out of here. So his servant put her out. The one that was innocent, the one that was loving, the one that was beautiful, the one that was obedient to her father to go wait on her brother and do all that she could do for him. Get her out of here. So his servant put her out and shut the door, locked it after. She was wearing a richly ornamented robe. She was the daughter of a king, and she came in with her nice ornamented robe. For this was the kind of garment the virgin daughters of the king wore. But Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the robe she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went away weeping aloud as she went. What a sad story. Some people have the kind of love that changes when they get what they want from you. That's not love at all. In verse 20, her brother Absalom saw her. Has that Amnon, your brother, been with you? Sound like Absalom knew his brother. Amnon been with you? Were you looking? Were you crying? The way you broke down? The way you're grieving? What happened? He said, be quiet, sister. He's your brother. Don't take this thing to heart. Now you can say Amnon is trying to cover up for him, but you don't have to get the rest of the story. Amnon hatched an attack to kill him. Say, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. We're going to be talking about family matters, what goes on in the house. Tamar lived in her brother Absalom's house, a desolate woman, a desolate woman. I was thinking about this morning as I was just meditating on this, and the question came up in my mind, whatever happened to Tamar? Whatever became of her with so much potential, so much energy, so much zest for life, so pure, so innocent, and so kind and so beautiful? Wonder what she looked like after that. What a tragic story told to us from the scriptures. It's a story that occurred under the false pretenses of love. A relationship born of genuine love is a blessing. But the wrong relationship can mess up your life. It can mess you up for life as well. There are a lot of people looking for love without knowing what love is. There are those who have been hurt by relationships that presented itself as a love relationship. Some are sitting here and some are listening to us on our broadcast. You have been hurt tremendously by someone who said they loved you. I can't vouch for the authenticity of relationships that may have presented itself to you, but I can recommend a love relationship that you can rely on and you can put complete confidence in. That relationship is a relationship with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us about God in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love for us. In this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're talking about demonstrating what love is. He gave to us when we didn't deserve it. Then Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights or depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In this story today, we can see the devastation that's caused by a love, and I put that in quotation, gone wrong, about a counterfeit love. I know that there are people that are listening to me right now that have experienced tremendous hurt in a relationship. And we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray and ask God to heal every hurt and every pain. Some of you have been abused. Some have been mistreated. Some have been walked out on. Some have been led down a path and found out that it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. Whether you're male or female, it's not just women that have these situations. Men suffer them as well. You may not have even considered that when you came in this morning, but after you hear this message, you say, I've gone through some things that made me feel like a desolate person. Well, here's the time for healing. Here's the time to allow the love of God to come in and heal every hurt and heal every pain. This is not a time to be embarrassed about what has happened. This is a time to bring all of our hurt and our pain to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been praying for you even before you got here this morning. God knew you were going to be here, and he knew you were going to hear this message. And this message is to bring hope and healing to some of you who've had to put ashes on your head because you felt like you couldn't make it anymore like you were. I don't know who you are, but this is a good time to just say, Lord, I want to overcome. I want to forgive. I want healing. I want hope for the future. God is able. You may have never told anybody a story where someone have abused you. Someone have left you. Someone have abandoned you. Someone has mistreated you emotionally. But here's a good time to get those things addressed. I want you to step in faith. Anybody who says, Pastor, I just like this prayer of agreement to come toward me and what I've had to deal with. And let's believe God. God is able to minister to every hurt and every pain that you have regarding a relationship. And this is our time. God doesn't want you to be a desolate woman. He doesn't want you to be a desolate man. Somebody else need to stand up, because some of you struggle with every relationship you have because something happened in the past. This is a good time to just get all of that taken care of, whatever it might be. Some of you are struggling in your marriage because something happened before you got married. And here's a good time to just say, Lord, help me right now. Help me to overcome all of those influences and all of those things will come up unexpectedly when I'm dealing with something. It'll just come up. I thought I was over it. It's still there. We want God's divine grace and favor and healing to be appropriate to you. He's able to do it, and he'll do it now. Will you join me? Just bow your heads. Father, we thank you, Lord. You came to heal every broken heart. And we thank you, Father. You know the offenses that have been given toward these, your people. You know the hurt. You know the pain. You know the depth of it. You know the breadth of it. We ask by your amazing grace and your amazing love to go deep into the heart and the soul and the minds of these, your people. Change their mourning into dancing. Right now, Lord, break every stronghold. Break every hindrance. Every emotional thing that causes them pain, we ask you right now, mighty God. Father, let your forgiving power resonate in them, that they can forgive those who have mistreated them. And then, God, begin to fill them up again. Begin to bring into their lives blessings for the trouble that they've had. We thank you for it right now. We praise you for it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. There's someone who's in here today who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've come to service, or maybe you've been going to church for a while, but you know that you have not made a commitment to Christ to invite him to be the Lord of your life. Here's a good time to do so. You say, Pastor, I know my life is not what it ought to be. I need change. I need help. I need hope. And I'm ready for change in my life. Wherever you are, would you just lift your hand? We're going to pray with you. Say, I need a new start. I need a new life. I need new hope, new direction. Somebody else would say, Pastor, you know, I made a commitment to Christ in the past, but I've kind of wandered off track, and I need to get reconnected with him. And I'm ready to do that today. I want to rededicate my way to the Lord and really give my life over so that he can direct me and be the Lord.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and you've just heard this message about a disturbing occurrence between a stepbrother and a stepsister who was motivated by what he thought was love, discovered it was only lust. Tamar, the innocent sister who was just helping her brother out, found her life turned upside down and devastated by this sexual abuse. It is all too common in our community and even in our churches that there are people who are sexually abusing someone in their household or someone that they are in a relationship with. The story you heard today has such a tragic end, and some of you are still suffering from the things that have occurred in your life. I want you to know that God can heal every hurt and every pain. If you would like to listen to this message again or listen to it in its entirety, you can go to our podcast at Light of the World Daily. Today's message is there along with previous broadcasts. The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You may be in a place in your life where you need help, you need hope, you need to connect with God. Call us right now on our prayer line number at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. God is able to help and to heal from every problem and every bit of your trouble. I invite you to join us each Sunday online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. And you're welcome to come and join us in one of our services, 10 o'clock every Sunday at 16161 Old Humble Road. Now, for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.